Man, I just love what God is doing, love his presence, love what he's doing here in our city, what he's doing here in our church, and what he's doing in our lives. It's just incredible to see all that he's done looking back the last few weeks and just sitting back and saying in awe, wow, Lord, you're doing amazing things. And he keeps doing it, and he wants to keep doing that. So we are in our series called Imagine What God Can Do. Imagine What God Can Do. And when we set out to do that, imagine, it was to provoke a thought, right? Provoke a thought of, wow, just think of what God could do in our lives and in us and through us. And that word in there, imagine, or that faith to believe, like God wants to do amazing things. And Pastor Tyler talked last week about belonging. We want to be a church where people can feel that they can belong, that when they come in, that they can see themselves here and be a part of something greater than themselves. And we want to be a church for those who feel lonely, undervalued, marginalized. We want to be that church where we come, our arms are open, and say, hey, you can come to this place. You can belong here. But he actually set us up for today. He talked about before you can thrive, you have to belong. So thriving precedes belonging, right? And he said in order to thrive, you have to be part of something or belonging to something. And so today I want to talk to you about thriving. Imagine what God can do if a church is thriving. And understand when I say church, I'm not talking about this right here. I'm talking about you and I. Imagine a church thriving. And I believe God wants to do that. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to have a thriving life in all areas of our lives. And so I was reading through, I looked up, what do people really want out of life? What do they really want to thrive at? And it gave me six categories. It said material things, self-confidence, adventurous things, spiritual and emotional, career, and health things, okay? And so in these categories, there were about 7 to 8 things that they posted in these areas that, hey, this is what I would look like if I was thriving. And so in the material things, it says, if I could have a big house, if I could have a nice car and fashionable clothes, okay? Self-confidence, it says, you're going to like this, to neither look nor feel fat. Amen. I like the second one. I wish the second one was true. To eat whatever I want and not gain weight. Good Lord. We believe that, although we so serve donuts and chicken Alfredo happening, but we believe you will not gain weight. Eat whatever you have. Or the third one was to hold your own in a political conversation. To be able to hold my own in a political conversation. Under adventurous things, it says if I could visit every continent, if I could speak a foreign language fluently, if I could learn how to take a professional photography. That is a real thing now. Everyone wants to be a professional photographer. Spiritual and emotional, to have at least one true best friend. To feel relief from judgment. To reconcile, this one was amazed me, to reconcile with an enemy. On the career, it has to reach a fabled level of success that makes me untouchable. Or to create a positive work or life balance. And this one, to feel as capable as others think that I am. I want to feel capable of what people think that I am. Under health things, they had to grow old without losing your mind or control over your body, to recover from a painful or debilitating disease, and not to die from a painful or debilitating disease. And these are things that it says, if I could thrive, if I could have this a part of my life every day, this is what it would look like. And I get it, like we all want to thrive. We all want to live a filled life. But sometimes we can go after external things that make us look like we're thriving versus really digging into internal things. right? We want that. We want people to say, hey, they thriving, right? Hashtag the blessed life, right? Hashtag I'm thriving. Look at me. I got it going on. And oftentimes we search or we keep going after external things versus going after internal value. Watch this. It says this, that thriving is not for external gain, although that can be a byproduct, but it's not going after external gain, but it's going after internal growth. How can I internally grow? And understanding that growing is not always fun. Growing, it can be painful. Growing, you have to deal with some issues, right? How many got issues? Every hand should be up. We all got issues. We got issues, and the Lord wants to do things in us and through us so that we can have a thriving life. I like this. It said that when it comes to thriving, the goal isn't how much more I can get. It's about getting. It's about how much more can I grow. Not how much can I get, more things, but how much more can I grow? I was listening to this. Any parents in the house? Any parents in the house? I'm like you, as a parent, you know, you want your child to be healthy. You want them to grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially. You want them to grow and be well-rounded when they grow up. But they said this about growth, that the basic principles of growth and development are physical, social, and cognitive. Physical, they start out physically growing, and then they go to social, how they do well with others and surroundings, and cognitive, how they start to think. And they actually said that our brains aren't fully developed, they said, until we're 30 years old. So ladies, if you're married and he's under 30, you got a few ways. Just give him grace. Give him grace. He ain't developed yet. He ain't developed yet. But I also learned this, and you can know this, that you can be in a healthy place and you can see children. You've seen what healthiness looks like. But also, I've seen what unhealthiness has looked like. And oftentimes, with children or even our growth, gets pushed back because we go into crisis mode. I've seen kids live in crisis mode. I've seen them try to figure out, am I going to be living in this same house this next month? I lived in a neighborhood where we had 3 to 4 houses on our block. And every 6 months, there was a new family in there. There was turnover happening in our neighborhood. So when kids go to school that live in a chaotic or crisis mode, they're not thinking about learning. They're thinking about how to survive. They're thinking about how am I going to get my next meal? Am I going to even eat when I go home? So not even thinking about how to learn or develop or grow. But the crisis mode happens, and it's trying to survive. They're trying to figure out how can I be or become healthy, and they're not surrounded with the proper resources, the proper nutrients, the proper backing. They're just in crisis mode, and that can stunt their growth. If you ask any teacher who works in some of these schools, they let you know half the day they're just dealing with problems. Half the day they're trying to figure out how they're going to help the kids, and sometimes they take it home. Sometimes they're dealing with the emotions. Sometimes they're trying to figure it out. They can't even teach probably because a lot of the kids are in crisis mode and you don't see them properly being developed. So they're not actually thriving, they're actually surviving. And some of you guys in here today might be in the survival mode, but God wants to move you from surviving to thriving. He wants to move you out of panic mode and trying to figure it out. He said, if I can get you out of surviving and move you to thriving, oh, what a church we can be. And I've seen young boys, I've seen teenagers, I've seen a few boys that I have run around my house, and their mom is working 2 jobs, and she's not home, and they're trying to fend for themselves and running here and there, and I catch them, I grab them, I'll be like, hey, what you doing? Like, just out running, because they're just surviving, and they're in crisis mode. And so, but God wants to say, he said, what does a church look like, you and I, if we're thriving? What does a church look like that we're able to open up our doors and invite people into what God has called us to live out, to live thriving? And here's the first point I want you to take, is that thriving is being surrounded by the right people. Thriving is being surrounded by the right people. The New Living Translation said this. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked
or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers. The Message translation said this. It says, how well God must like you that you don't hang out in sin salon, that you don't slink around dead end road, and you don't go to Smart Mouth College. Some of y'all have been graduated from Smart Mouth College. The English Standard said this. It says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And it says, blessed is the man who does not do this. And actually, blessed points towards the word happiness. Happy is the man, the woman, who does not surround themselves in the wrong environment or put themselves around people who gossip and people who don't encourage each other, people who are speaking death and not life. Happy is the man, the blessed person, you and I, the thriving church. Blessed is he, happy is he when he's not surrounded or puts himself in this environment that doesn't speak life. And oh, how the church could be thriving if we create an environment where people come in and feel lifted up and not speak in death. Because there is power in what we speak. There is power in what we speak. The environments we place, the environments we build. That's why this right here is so important. So that we create a space and environment that people can come in and be called higher. That can be called higher, thriving, the thriving church. And I understand about thriving. Oftentimes I had these young men that I was coaching. And some may know I coached boys basketball like 5 years ago. And I started out with these boys in the fifth grade. And understand about these young men, they all thought they were LeBron James, okay? So I'm going to give you some context. They thought they were LeBron James, but never picked up a basketball in their life, okay? And so first day of basketball practice, they all missing layups and trying to shoot threes. And I'm like, yo, you're not that, right? And so we're building a relationship and even give you some more context. Never picked up a basketball, and we're having practices, and they all think, you know, they all think they're cold, right? They all think they're doing it. So our first game we have, and even some more context. So I had an all-black team, and our league was all white in Ralston. And so we show up, and they look like they're about to go in, right? They geared up. They got the sleeves. They got the leg. They got the shoes. They warming up, right? I'm like, oh, man, oh. And the other team was like, oh, and I got the coach coming, oh, man, oh, I don't want to play y'all. Oh, I'm like, you have no idea. Good News Bears comes to mind. And so the game starts, and you know, I'm like, all right, you know, and I'm just looking, and we're just getting killed. I mean, we couldn't make a layup. We look good, like they look good, but couldn't get a layup to save their life. I'm like, oh, Lord, this is not good. They haven't been developed properly to execute my plan. But they loved being around the environment. They didn't care about winning. They didn't care. They really didn't. They enjoyed the rise. They enjoyed making fun of each other. They enjoyed that. But then I had one boy, young man, that I was really interested, and he was a good kid. He listened. He didn't cause any problems. You know, he was a good kid. And fifth grade happened, and if you know often about young men who are in crisis, it's hard to build trust. So it takes time and takes intentionality and takes relationships to build trust. You can't just show up and start telling them what to do, because oftentimes they've already been the man of the house. They've already been making decisions on their own. And so for someone to come into life and try to tell them or lead them, it's like, whoa, I've been doing things by myself and on my own. And so I remember the fifth grade, it was cool. He was a good kid, no problems. The next year I have him. And the couple practices into it, I began to notice some things that changed. He was a little bit more angry, and he wanted to fight every time. And I was like, man, this is not the same kid that I had. And so I remember I would have to pick up the boys for practice, all of them, drop them off, and for games and drop them off. I remember the last practice, I drop all the other young boys off, and I take them, I pull up to his house. I said, hey, man, like, talk to me. What's going on? He's like, what are you talking about? I said, talk to me. What's going on? He's like, nothing, coach. And I love being called coach. It's a cool name. He said, nothing, coach. I said, something's up because you seem more angry. Like, you're ready to fight all the time. So I said, it's not you. You're not the same kid. He was like, he starts to shut down. He's like, oh. I said, talk to me, man. He said, you ain't going to understand, coach. I said, try me. Talk to me. Coach, you ain't going to understand. I said, try me. He said, you don't understand. Across the street, I got gangs living in the house. You don't understand, coach. Down the street every night on the weekends, there's a biker club. And they're carrying knives and guns and stuff. And so I got to protect myself. So I got to go into fight mode. I got to protect myself. You don't understand, coach. I got to learn to fight. I got to be tough because if I'm not tough, I'm going to get beat up. What do you do and what do you say to that? What do you say? He's sitting in my van. He shares that. And I said, man, I said, I know that's tough. I know you're going through a challenging time. But I said, guess what? He said, well, coach, I said, my house is right up the street. I said, anytime you want to come over and hang out, you can come and hang out. Now, be careful when you say these things, right? Because the next day, kid you not, the next day, he doesn't show up by himself. He shows up with two other kids from the team. And before I even get home, they are hanging on my porch. Before I get home, I'll pull up and pull in. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, coach. I'm like, oh, man. He said, hey, coach. I said, hey, what's up? He said, yeah, I told the two other guys. They said they wanted to come over. I told them, we can come to your house anytime. I said, yep, I did say that. Come on in. And they go in. But here's the thing. They came into an environment that was surrounded that could help them see what does a healthy family look like? What does a healthy marriage look like? The surroundings in our house, it wasn't anger, it wasn't no yelling. There wasn't any of that. It was joy and it was happy. Like, coach, you always happy. I said, yeah, man, you know. They came into an environment. And every day they would show up and show up and eat my food and show up, show up. And we cook it. But it was an environment that we created for them so that they could grow. They could see what does it look like to be healthy and what would a church look like for thriving. That we say, hey, come and see what healthiness looks like. Come into an environment. Come and get surrounded by people who can speak words of life and not death into you. I begin to speak life into these young men. I tell them, man, you can do whatever you want to do. Besides play basketball, you can do it. I did. I told them that. Ain't none of them playing ball, y'all. None of them. Being surrounded by the right people, it matters. It matters. So much that he said it. Happy is the man, happy is the person who does not surround themselves with people who aren't invited. Man, this is not good, y'all. Man, my iPad just died. You're kidding me. What is going on? Get my phone. My phone's not here. I'm no joke. Sorry. If you're a new visitor, this does not happen every time. Be so gracious. Can I get somebody to go to my office and grab my computer real fast? You can run real fast. I'm going to keep going. No, because you have your notes on my notes. I wouldn't know what to say. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna see if I keep going. I keep going. Keep rocking. This is it. Thank you. Oh man, technology today. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it gives you more patience. Okay, here we go. Next thing, I said, being strength. Nope, that's three. Hang on. Being surrounded, being strengthened. Thank you, sir. That is the right one. And a phone. I got five phones. There we go. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. That one. There it is. Yeah. Here we go. We're going to work this out. Okay. Y'all with me? Y'all good? Good. I'm glad we're not a perfect church. Oh, Lord. I'm sweating right now, y'all. All right. being surrounded by the right people. And then here's the next thing, being strengthened with the right resources. The right resources you need to be strengthened with. Lord, planted. It says, he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Planted is to be set or put in the ground to grow. But oftentimes, we don't like this growing or being planted, do we? Because being planted means you got to be still. Being planted means that you can't do and go however you want to go. You got to be committed to the process of growing, being planted. And if we understand the principle of being planted and how much it matters to our growth, we wouldn't want to be so quick to leave or to move. And so the writer gives us the parallel to being blessed and to being planted. He says, to be blessed, you have to not only surround yourself or move yourself from the wrong environment, but you got to get planted in the right place to receive the right resources. I sent through the study, they said this study of how you plant trees, that, you know, trees don't start out big. They start out with a seed. It doesn't start, it starts with seed. It starts, being planted in good soil so the roots can grow in the soil. And the roots then start to stretch out so that can receive nutrients from the tree so that the tree can live. The roots that are connected to the source are never seen. The roots to the tree are never seen. They are underground. You don't see how the tree is getting nourished. You don't see how the tree is getting resourced. All we see is what's being produced. All we see is that the tree provides us shade. But understand, in order for that tree to grow, it has to be getting nutrients or getting resource. That's why I say you got to be planted by the rivers of water, a place where you get resourced, a place where you get resourced so that you can thrive. It says in Jeremiah 17, says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and who trusts is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So it says, although you got to get surrounded by people, you have to be like a tree, planted, right? Planted in an environment where I can get resourced. So when things come my way and when life comes my way, storms comes, I don't move. I don't go anywhere because my roots are tied to the resource. So I'm right in the right place where I need to be. And oftentimes, we don't want to stand still. We want to go search and find the next best thing. But God said, no, blessed is the man who is planted where he can get resourced. And this is a place we pray that you can get resourced, that you can thrive. But in order for us to thrive, God said, I'm planted around people who can speak life into me and not death. So we get resourced to, I can learn about how my marriage can thrive and how I can parent well so I can understand the word, delight in his word. That's what planted means, so that when things come, I don't waver, I don't move, I don't go anywhere else because I'm tied and connected to something that's providing me resources. It's not always about getting, but it's about growing. How much can you grow? How much can you grow? And that's what the Lord wants to do. And imagine a church that we're providing resources for others who are trying to figure out, how do I thrive in life? How do I thrive? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? What environments can I be in? Who can I be connected to help me thrive? And I pray that our arms are open wide to receive people to come in and say, I'm not exactly where I want to be, but I know where I want to grow. And you say, you got to get planted somewhere. That's speaking life so that your leaves won't wither or fade away. Because you know, external things fade away. Careers fade away. Money fades away. Cars, houses fade away. And he says, you got to be planted somewhere so when things, outside things come, you can keep growing. You can keep growing. You can keep thriving in that place. And I love CLB, man, because I'm thriving. My marriage thrives. I get better when I'm around Tyler. I get better as a man. I get better when I'm around other couples. I get better. My marriage thrives. I get better seeing how to parent even better by those who, well, we got one kid and she runs the house, but we're trying to get better. But I thrive being around others who are doing that. My young boys thrive when they can come into an environment where they can see that and see it as an example of how do I live this life out. Thriving. So the first one is being surrounded. The second was being strengthened. And the third thing I want to leave you with is this. It's probably the toughest but most powerful is being shaped to produce lasting fruit. Being shaped to produce lasting fruit. It says that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. All he does, he prospers. Being shaped, being molded, being shaped and being molded doesn't feel good, does it? Being shaped in his image doesn't always feel good because it's the part of the process of becoming and being. The Psalms states that if you are in the right environment with the right resources, you will produce lasting fruit. And not only will you produce lasting fruit, but when you feel dry, you won't fade away. We're constantly being shaped and molded into the image of Christ. And I don't know about you, being molded in the image of Christ takes work. It doesn't feel good. But it is in the process to thriving that you cannot skip this in order to thrive. John 15, Jesus said this. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. For I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, we can do nothing. Jesus reminds us that in order to produce fruit, you have to be connected to the right source. For he is the source, and apart from him, we can do nothing. For abiding in him and bearing fruit go hand in hand. If I abide in him, I produce lasting fruit. Outside of him, I keep trying to satisfy external needs. I keep trying to satisfy the holes that have been left. I keep searching and keep trying to make it more. I keep trying to make more money because maybe that'll satisfy me. I keep trying to fit in more. Maybe that'll satisfy me. I keep trying to get more degrees. Maybe that'll satisfy me. If I can get into the right social arena, maybe that'll satisfy me. But that doesn't bear any lasting fruit because you're outside from the source. He just said, in order for you to get lasting fruit, you have to be connected to the right source. For he is the vine from which we get everything from in order to thrive. It says this, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into fire and burned. That's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement. Don't skip over it. For if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. It's a hard statement. Not connected to me. Thrown away. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Apart from me, you can't thrive. And it says this, and this is how you know that you are my disciples, by the fruit that you produce. This is how I know we're in this together, how you connect to the source, by the fruit that you produce. And you might be asking, all right, what fruit am I supposed to produce? How am I supposed to be living this out? Well, jump over to Galatians 5:22 says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there was no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He is trying to produce what the Holy Spirit wants to do is produce this everlasting fruit. How many know they can be more loving, more patient, more kind, more gentle? Men, gentleness. By the words that we speak, gentleness. Not harshness, but gentleness. The character of God is gentleness. And oftentimes the world can give us the definition of masculinity, and sometimes that word gentleness is not in there, does it? It says be harsh, step over anybody you want to, command what you want to. And that's not the character or the fruit that you should be producing. Wives, nudge your husband and say, gentleness. Gentleness. The words that we speak to our wives, the words that we speak to our children. Gentleness. Trust me, fellas, I tried. I told my wife, that didn't work. It doesn't work. No, I didn't. I'm joking. She tells me, husband, Jameson, gentle. Wives, gentleness to your husbands. The words that we speak, how we speak, it matters. Because it should be producing fruit. That we should be able to see Jesus in each other. And can I see Jesus in you by the fruit that you are producing? Kindness. It's amazing how it tells us to do this. And when you start asking, Lord, I want to be more patient, he sends people in your life so you can be more patient. Yep. Lord, I want to be more kind. And he put coworkers in your life so you can be more kind. He does this. And so when you ask, no is going to come. And because he wants to see, are you producing everlasting fruit? Because he wants us to grow. He wants us to thrive. His heart is for us to thrive. He wants to see you blessed. He wants to see us blessed. He wants to see the church blessed. Because guess what? His name is on it. So when people come from the outside in, they can say, oh, that's a blessed church. Not by what we have, but how we treat each other. Blessed, the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Tyler said this before. It's not happening in our own, but it happens through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit produces this in us. I don't know about you, but I tried to produce it on my own. I'm going to be more patient. I can never do it. But when I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, I say, Lord, do this in my life. Let me be more patient. Let me be more kind, more gentle. And he provides me opportunities to do that because he wants to see us growing. And imagine a church that's thriving, that we create an environment for people to come in, and create an environment for people to get resourced, and create an environment for people to grow in the Spirit, and to be shaped and molded. That's an incredible church that I want to be a part of. That's a church that I imagine. Not by how many people we get in, but the depths in which we are growing. The depths we are growing, that we're planted, that we are grabbing hold to the truth of what God has for lives, that we're living this out. And understand that growth doesn't happen in just one day. It happens daily. Don't wake up tomorrow and say, boom, I'm patient. Doesn't happen that way. It happens daily. And every day, you're patient with your wife. And every day, you're gentle with your wife. And every day, you're loving to your husband. And every day, you speak encouragement to your children. And every day, and every day, and every day. I love even further in the scripture says, this is to let you know that you are in line or in step with the Holy Spirit. You're in step with him. He teaches you and he guides you. And he says, I need to be more patient. I need to be more kind. I need to be gentle. Oh, no, I'm still working on kindness. No, in step, right? In step. And he produces this everlasting fruit so that God can be glorified and that Jesus is exalted. And that we are a thriving church, not looking like we have it, but we're living it out. And imagine a church that lives a thriving life. Whew. Imagine a church that is thriving. That when stories comes, Pastor Jay, I was dealing with anger, but God is doing something in me. He's changing me. I'm learning how to communicate and learning how to be more kind and gentle and loving and patient. I'm growing. I'm not perfect, but it's happening daily. Wow. 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 Then you invite people into your space to disciple. Say, look at my life. Let my life be a reflection. Let my life produce fruit so that you can learn what Jesus wants to do in your life. So that people can be drawn, not to you, but to the Holy Spirit that's in you. So then they can get connected to the right source. And imagine a church that reaches out, that invites, that grabs hold of those people and say, come, follow me. Follow my life. And be an example. There's children who need to see that. There's adults who need to see that. There's marriages. There's people coming in that need to be a part of that and be in an environment. I said, this is what it looks like to thrive. And I believe the Lord is doing that here.